our show today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I am your host, Wanda McKinley, with Stephanie Afford as the co-host. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered women and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to also uplift them and provide them a new life with a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing them and elevating their lives. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. And I was in that situation for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help other women and children who have walked or may be walking in my shoes. I want to again welcome you to the program. We Are Survivors have several different fundraising events that are going on. For those that shop at Kroger and Tom Thumb, the Kroger card that you have, there is a code that you can actually go online and register your card and attach the code 21490. Again, that number is 21490. And every time you make a purchase at Kroger's, Kroger's will donate a percentage of your sales to We Are Survivors. The same goes with Tom Thumb. And their code is 13451. We also have a CPN card, and that is a discount card. That card has a monthly charge, a yearly annual fee of $15. And we also have linked up with Compass Bank. And Compass Bank will donate a percentage also of your sales to We Are Survivors by linking your bank card to 113-631. Today we will have an awesome speaker on, Dr. Katrina Pullum. She is a wife, she's a mother, she's a servant of God, a vision coach, she's an educator, mentor, she's an advocate, and a film and theatrical producer. That was a lot to say. She will be on the show later on, and so we look forward to having a great conversation with her. Today is October 1st, 2015, October being Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so today, while we have time on the show, we want to focus on what is domestic violence. Before we get into that, I want to point out some things that We Are Survivors will be doing within the next couple of weeks. October will be a very, very busy month, and we are so blessed and honored that people have included us in their awareness events that they're having this month for domestic violence. October 7th at 9:30, We Are Survivors will be speakers at Townview High, which is actually a school for the talented and gifted. We are going to be speaking with the high schoolers there regarding domestic violence, answering questions, praying that God leads us with the correct wordage so that we will help a child on that day. And so we're really excited about teaming up with the Townview Center, which is actually located at 1201 East 8th Street in Dallas, Texas, 75203. Again, We Are Survivors will be speaking at Townview High, which is a science and engineering magnet high school. And the date is October 7th at 9:30. We will also be a part of the monthly luncheon that the City of Dallas, along with a lot of other organizations, come together to help, once again, with awareness for domestic violence. We will be being a part of that October 13th. October 3rd, which is actually this Saturday, I want to acknowledge Celebrating Life Foundation. Celebrating Life Foundation is a foundation that promotes breast cancer awareness, because this is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And Ms. Sylvia is actually having an event this Saturday, and it's called Sister to Sister Fitness Festival. And it's going to have walkers, of course, volunteers, corporations, the community support coming out, and the Dallas Cedar Hill communities. Everyone will come out and celebrate breast cancer among African-American women and women of color. The Celebrating Life Foundation will provide different types of information on how to help bring awareness, on how to raise money for the foundation, to also help and give you information regarding supporting, encouraging, and promoting health and wellness throughout the community. So that event is Saturday, and it is Cedar Hill. So come out and enjoy that. You're going to be able to learn a lot of things about breast self-examinations, breast cancer questions and answers. Also, you know, you can get information regarding men. Men do get breast cancer as well. And so that's a really important thing. We also want to acknowledge the fact that it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and also to point out that each year breast cancer kills about 5,600 African-American women. The survival rate among African-American women is only 71% compared to 87% among Caucasian women. And breast cancer self-exams can save your life. It takes about 15 minutes to perform regular breast exams, and many women do find their own lumps by actually taking the time out to do self-examinations. It's very important, women. And I can, you know, give you some information really on how to perform a breast self-exam. A lot of women don't really know how to do it correctly. Now, if you're laying down, while laying down on your back, place a pillow under your right shoulder. And then you use your middle three fingers to examine your breast by pressing firmly against your breast in a circular motion. Check your entire breast area with your finger pads on your left hand. Use small circles and follow an up and down pattern. Use light and medium and firm pressure over each area of your breast. That is for when you're lying down. Now, if you're in front of a mirror, with your right hand behind your head, use the middle three fingers to examine your breast. Once again, in a circular motion, press firmly against the breast and towards the chest wall to check for knots, lumps, or swelling. Repeat this with the opposite side. Pretend your breast is the face of a clock and go around the entire breast in a clockwise fashion, making sure to cover the entire breast area, including under the arm. Also, tense your chest muscles to make any changes in your breast more prominent. Visual inspections on your breast is also a good way to monitor any changes. Look for any noticeable changes, any dimpling or size differences. Inspect your breast in four steps. Arms to the side, arms overhead, hands on hips, pressing firmly to flex your chest muscles and bending forward. In the shower, check your entire breast area with your finger pads of your left hand. Use small circles and follow an up and down pattern. Use light, medium, and firm pressures over each area of your breast. Also, gently squeeze each nipple to check for any type of discharge. So, ladies, if you perform your breast self-examination and find any lumps, any, you know, changes in the form of your breast or any type of discharge, then immediately make an appointment to go see your doctor to make sure that everything checks out and you're healthy. Once again, ladies, not only is it Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well. So let's make sure we take care of our bodies. That's very important. Now, what is domestic violence? There are several different definitions. The one I'm going to read you simply states that domestic violence is the willful intimidation, physical assault, battery, sexual assault, and or other abusive behavior as part of a systematic pattern of power and control perpetrated by one intimate partner against another. It includes physical violence, sexual violence, psychological violence, and emotional abuse. The frequency and severity of domestic violence can vary dramatically. However, the one constant component of domestic violence is one's partner's consistent effort to maintain power and control over the other. Now, domestic violence is an epidemic, and it does affect individuals in every community, regardless of your age, your economic status, your sexual orientation, your gender, your race, religion, or your nationality. It doesn't matter. It is often accompanied by emotional abuse and controlling behavior that is just a fraction of the systematic patterns of dominance and control. Domestic violence can result in physical injury, also psychological trauma, and in severe cases, even death. The devastating physical, emotional, and psychological consequences of domestic violence can cross generations, and it does. It can also last a lifetime. It's not really easy to determine the early stages of a relationship if one person will become abusive or not. Domestic violence intensifies over time, and a lot of times we think that if we do something different, if we change, if we just do what they ask or go above and beyond, that the violence will stop, and it doesn't. The abuser may often seem wonderful and perfect, like a dream come true, but gradually begins to change. Becomes more aggressive, more controlling as the relationship continues. Abuse may begin with behaviors that may easily be dismissed or downplayed, such as name calling, threats, possessiveness, or distrust. A lot of time, women, we misinterpret possessiveness, and we think that he's so in love with me that he doesn't want me to go here, or he's afraid of me meeting someone, or, oh my gosh, I'm this special person. That is a sign of being possessive. And ladies, there's nothing intimate about a man that is possessive. Abusers may apologize profusely for their actions or try to convince the other person that they're abusing out of love. Once again, that goes back to the possessiveness. It's not out of love. It's violence. It's control mechanism. And it always intensifies over time with an abuser, despite the apologies. What may start out as something that was first believed to be harmless escalates into extreme control. For instance, you know, the abuser may threaten, kill, or hurt the victim or others if they speak to families and friends. I'm going to give you some examples of abusive tendencies, but this is not limited to. This is just to kind of give you an idea. And if some of these things that I'm getting ready to say rings home, that's a flag. And it may be time to, ladies, reevaluate the relationship that you're in. And here goes some of those examples of abusive tendencies. Telling the victim that they can never do anything right. Showing jealousy of the victim's family and friends and time spent away. Accusing the victim of cheating. Keeping or discouraging the victim from seeing friends and family members. Embarrassing or shaming the victim with put-downs. Controlling every penny spent in the household. Taking the victim's money and refusing to allow them to spend money. Looking at or acting in ways that scare the person that they are abusing. Controlling who the victim sees, where they go, or who they go with. Dictating how the victim dresses, how they wear their hair. Some women think, oh, he likes to dress me, and he did this, and he picked out my clothes. Ladies, take a look at that. Sometimes you do have men that love to dress their women to enhance you, to make you feel good about yourself. So if you have a man that's picking out your clothes to hide you, to cover up your personality, to change who you are, that can be a sign of an abusive person. Stalking the victim or monitoring their victim's every move, be it on your cell phone, internet, GPS, preventing the victim from making their own decisions. Telling the victim that they are a bad parent or threatening to kill or hurt or take away their children. Threatening to hurt or kill the victim's friends, loved ones, or pets. Intimidating victims with weapons such as guns and knives. Pressuring the victim to have sex when they don't want to or to do things sexually that are not comfortable. Forcing you to have sex with others. Refusing to use protection when having sex or sabotaging birth control. Pressuring or forcing the victim to use drugs or alcohol. Preventing the victim from walking or attending school. Harassing the victim and either keeping the victim up all night so they perform badly at school or job. Destroying the victim's property. it is important to note that domestic violence does not always have to manifest into physical abuse. Emotional and psychological abuse can often be just as extreme as physical violence. Lack of physical violence doesn't mean the abuser is any less dangerous to the victim, nor does it mean the victim is in any less way trapped by the abuse. Additionally, domestic violence does not always end up with the victim escapes the abuser or either tries to terminate the relationship and or seek help. Often, it intensifies because the abuser feels a loss of control over the victim. Abusers will frequently continue to stalk, harass, threaten, and try to control the victim after the victim escapes. In fact, the victim is often in the most danger directly following the escape of the relationship or when they seek help. A fifth of homicide victims with restraining orders are murdered within 2 days of obtaining the order, and a third are actually murdered within the first month. It's unfair, but that's what happens. The truth is, bringing an end to abuse is not a matter of the victim choosing to leave. It is a matter of the victim being able to safely escape their abuser. The abuser is choosing to stop the abuse or others. A lot of times, holding the abuser accountable for the abuse they inflict falls on deaf ears. Now, who can be a victim of domestic violence? Anyone can be a victim of domestic violence. There is no typical victim. Victims of domestic violence come from all walks of life, varying from all age groups, from all backgrounds, from all communities, all educational levels, economical levels, cultures, religions, lifestyles. It doesn't discriminate. Victims of domestic violence do not bring violence upon themselves. They do not always lack self-confidence, nor are they just as abusive as the abuser. Violence in relationships occurs when a person feels entitled to power and control over their partner and chooses to use abuse to gain and maintain control. And this happens in relationships where domestic violence exists. Violence is not equal. Even if the victim fights back or instigates violence in an effort to defuse a situation, there's going to always be one person who is primarily and constantly the source of power and control in that relationship. Now, of course, every relationship differs. But what is most common within all abusive relationships is the very tactics used by abusers to gain and maintain power and control over the victim. Surprisingly, nearly 3 out of 10 women and 1 in 10 men in the United States have experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner or former partner, and reported at least one impact related to experiencing this or other forms of violent behavior in a relationship. Example, being fearful, always concerned about their safety, post-traumatic stress disorder, which we know as PTSD. There are crisis support, there are housing services, there are advocacy services or legal services out there to help victims become survivors. Now, physical and sexual assaults or threats are what we seem to focus on. They are the most apparent forms of domestic violence, and usually the actions that are behind those are actually made aware. I mean, what I mean by that is people actually can see the physical and results of sexual assault. Whereas when it comes to emotional and mental, you can't really see that because it's hidden. It's internalized. But how about other abusive behaviors by the abuser? When they're reinforced by one or more acts of physical violence, it may only occur occasionally, the physical assaults, but they will constantly instill fear of future violent attacks, which will allow the abuser to control the victim's life and circumstances by not even touching them, because that individual is afraid. And that's another way that the abuser will control the victim. Just the thought of something happening again. Now, victims of domestic violence experience an array of emotions and feelings, from the abuse that's been inflicted upon them by their abuser, both within and following the relationship. They may also resort to extremes in effort to cope with the abuse. Victims of domestic violence may feel so many different types of emotions, so many confused thoughts. And I'm going to name some. And this may hit home for some people who have not even acknowledged the fact that they are a survivor. And some of these personalities, or they can also be habits that have formed, some of these emotions, these feelings, you may be going through and not even understand why. Victims of domestic violence may want the abuse to end, but not the relationship. So if you're in an abusive relationship, you love that person, but you want the abuse to end and not the relationship. Sometimes victims feel isolated, depressed, helpless, unaware of what services are available to them, embarrassed. You will feel judged, deny or minimize the abuse, or make excuses for the abuser. That's really common. As I mentioned earlier, you still love the abuser. You may withdraw emotionally, become distant from your family and friends, be impulsive or aggressive because you go into survivor mode, unsure of what's going to happen. So you protect yourself. You feel financially dependent on your abuser. You feel shame, anxiety. Some may even experience suicidal thoughts. Turn to alcohol or drugs. You can be hopeful that the abuser will change and or stop the abuse. Once again, that's been reworded a different way. Have religious and cultural or other beliefs that reinforce staying in that relationship. You may have no support from family or friends. You will, can also feel cultural, community, society backlash that may even hinder you from escape or even support. You feel like you have nowhere to go, no ability to get away. You fear that you will not be able to support yourself if you decide to leave the abuser. You have children in common with the abuser, and then you fear that for their safety if you leave. You have pets or other animals that don't want to leave, or you don't want to leave that pet in the presence of the abuser. You can have distrust of your local law enforcement, your courts, or other systems if the abuse is revealed. You feel like you won't have any support from them. In the past, you probably have had unsupportive experiences with friends, family, employers, law enforcement, courts, child protective services, and either believe that they won't help or don't make the situation worse. Those were some of the reasons why victims of domestic violence either choose to stay in an abusive relationship or feel that they are unable to leave. I've heard women say, hey, how can I, what are some warning signs? Are there flags? How do I know? Anyone can be an abuser. They come from all groups, once again, they come from all groups, all cultures, all religions, economical levels, all backgrounds. They can be your neighbor, your friend, child teacher, relative, coworker. It could be anyone. It is important to note that the majority of abusers are only violent with current or past intimate partners. One study found that 90% of abusers don't even have criminal records. And the abusers are generally law-abiding outside their home. So there is no one typical. It's not a detectable personality. However, they do display common characteristics. An abuser often denies the existence or minimizes the seriousness of the violence and its effect on the victim and other family members. An abuser objectifies the victim and often sees them as property or sexual objects. An abuser has low self-esteem, feels powerless, and ineffective when it comes to things on the outside of the home. An abuser will internalize the cause of their behavior, and then they'll blame the violence on circumstances such as stress, partner's behavior, a bad day, alcohol, drugs, or other factors. Ebenezer may be pleasant and charming between periods of violence and is often seen as a nice person to others outside the relationship. I can contest to that. People thought my husband was the sweetest thing, volunteered to do a lot for the community. But when he got home, he was not the same person that everyone else knew. And I used to always tell them, people would be surprised if they knew the real you. I really want to go over again some red flags. Extreme jealousy, possessiveness, bad temper, cruelty to animals, verbal abuse, controlling behavior, forced sex, disregard to you not wanting to have sex, sabotaging your birth control methods, blaming the victim for anything bad that happens, control over the finances, accusations of a victim flirting or having an affair, once again, controlling what a person wears, if it is taken away from who you are, demeaning you in public, just understanding makes the difference. Now, as I said earlier, we have our guest that is actually on the line now. And today we will be speaking to Dr. Katrina Pullman. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing? I am so sorry for the delay. Had an emergency doing what I do, and that's rescuing people from doing things to themselves or getting themselves out of situations that will harm them. So I do apologize for being late.
That is okay. Now, I am excited. And because we don't have a full hour, we will have to bring you back another time. But while I do have you, because you are a very busy woman. And I always like to do my research of people that I'm going to speak to so that I can make sure I do my due diligence. And when I begin to make my notes, I got tired. I'm like, how in the world does she do all this? Now, I'm going to reiterate, because I had already announced that I was going to be speaking to you, but I'm going to reiterate because I took a lot of words from your website because, like I said, I got tired. And you are a wife, a mother, a servant, a vision coach, an educator, a mentor, an advocate, and a film and theatrical producer.
Yes,
that is a mouthful. Not to mention all of the different companies, positions that you hold, the things that you do, the people that you touch, your organization, your book, your church, your ministry, your music productions, your public relations, your business consulting, your artist management. Okay, how do you, when people ask me, when do I sleep? I'm getting ready to ask you, when do you sleep?
Literally maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm back up at 6 o'clock. Yeah, it's like what I always tell people, like entrepreneurship, all of those different things, you have to put in the work. It's going to take some hours, but what I've learned to do is delegate. So I am building my team. So I have a team of folks who actually work with me and help me.
That
so
is awesome.
And I've learned how to say no, you know, to things as well. So my plate won't be so full.
you don't have a plate, Katrina. You have a platter. Let's first get that understood. You have a plate that is a plate is, you know, you can't put that much on a plate. When you have a platter, there's a whole lot going on in this platter because you got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a smidge of this, a smidge of that. You have a platter, honey. You don't have a plate. Just FYI.
Wow.
In case no one shares that part with you, you have a platter.
No, I
and
always
that's
ask
why,
the question, though, how do I balance, you know, balance it all, so...
You do a lot, and it's so much that I want to talk to you about, but what I want to do, because it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and today is October 1st, so, you know, while you were doing what you do best, we were talking about domestic violence and going over some, you know, the definition of what domestic violence is, characteristics of an abuser, kind of went over, you know, the dynamics of abuse. You have a book, and it's called Breaking the Chains. What inspired you to put your life in black and white?
What inspired me was I've always lived, I always did, like, my forensic investigations has been, like, my occupation, and so people have always asked me, how do you do it? And it's always been described as an out-of-body experience, as an out-of-body experience. And so, has an out-of-body experience. And so, for me, one of my spiritual mentors called me, and he was like, Doc, it's time for you to write your book. And I'm like, when am I going to have time to write a book? Because I'm so busy, I can't get anything done. Well, we projected it to be like, okay, by the next year, we have the date, everything. But when it's man's plan and not God's plan, it doesn't work out that way. So the book actually came out 2 years later, and a couple of months. And I was initially worried about what are people going to think, because all they see is the dressed-up person, the nice person, the person giving them all the motivation and the encouragement. And so one of my clients called me, and they were like, I have to be obedient to the Spirit. God told me to tell you that it's time for you to tell your story. And so she had no idea that someone else had spoken this into my life already. When she called, I was like, okay, I have to listen. So what I did, I started journaling, I started outlining, and I was like, God, the only way I will do this is if others will be empowered. It's not about the money or anything like that, but if others are going to be healed, if others are going to be empowered, yes, I will do the book. And so from there, it took us a year and 2 months, but I got the book done. I put together a writing team, well, editing team. So I journaled, I did all of those things, and I left it up to my team. We all got together, and we put it together because I was all over the place. And so even my husband said I left a cliffhanger, so he's waiting for, you know, the part two of the book to actually come out. So that's why I did the book.
Now, in your book, you talk about being sexually abused, being a teen mother, teen alcoholism, and domestic violence. Can you tell us about some of your experiences?
With the domestic violence part, since it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and going through all of those other things, child sexual abuse, and, you know, it's very important that we listen to our children if they tell us something that we believe them and look into it. Because once you take a child's innocence, they begin to go down a road. They begin to have behaviors that, you know, unexpected, you know, inappropriate behavior at school, not listening, being rebellious, all of those different things. And even turning to alcohol and drugs. I never did drugs, but I did do alcohol at 12 years old yes, I was an alcoholic all the way probably through, I would say, through high school. It wasn't nothing for me, to get with my older friends or go to the store and get alcohol and just drink it. That was my way of coping. So through that, it led into I was always searching for that man, that older man, which is, it was an older man who molested me. So, you know, you always looking for those type of figures. Well, I found someone when I was in college. I dated them. They whined and dined. They did everything. You know, they did everything pleasable until once they know they had to have me on the hook, and they got me in. And so I was in college during that time. And the abuse started when I began not to show him as much attention because I had to care for my ailing grandmother.
Uh-huh.
And so during that time, that's when the abuse went on for some time while I was in college. And it took my professors, you know, my self-esteem, everything was low, you know, during that time when everything happened to me. So it took my professors to come to me to say, what is going on? What is wrong? Your grades are failing. You're not yourself. You're not as active as, as you were. And so I acknowledged all of that. I said, oh, I'm going to do better. But when he took a knife to my throat and was getting ready to cut my throat on a Sunday afternoon in the kitchen because I said I need to get out of this relationship was when I woke up, was when I decided I had to let my parents know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke away from that, you know, from that environment. And from that day on, you know, I always let whoever I dated, I let them know, you know, you're not going to put your hands on me. You know, I was always
right.
on the deep, you know, this is
yes.
me, this is who it is. You decide to put your hands on me, it's, you know, I'm going to hit you back. I'm going to fight you back. So I didn't have that issue. I haven't had that issue since then. And every situation that I've been in, I had to ask God, you know, I began to ask God why. And that was because so I can help someone else. I can't help someone if I'm not going through anything, if I haven't been exposed to that. I can't sit and work with you or help you or understand what you're going through. Because for me, the situations I've been through was for a short period of time, or it happened once or twice, and that's it. And God had to reveal to me that I allowed you to go through those things so you can be understanding to others. You know, God has
mm-hmm.
a way of planning our path for us, and we can't see it. So, you know,
right.
my motto now, I just go with the flow. Whatever happens, I'm like, okay, you're going somewhere with this. I just go with the flow. Because he would start preparing us. You know, who would have known that I would be a national domestic violence advocate, you know, for women. And even for men.
Right.
Because initially when I wrote the book was supposed to be for women and teen girls. Since I've written the book, men are ordering the book. I'm speaking to a lot of youth groups that's not just females but also males. And so they're
mm-hmm.
asking for the book. How can I get a copy? I want to read it. So seeing that thirst to read the book and then actually being healed or empowered from the book to go on and do things that they have not done before, it really inspires me. Some people tag me, some people, you know, they don't. But if
mm-hmm.
I just happen to scroll down my timeline, I have seen posts from people who have the book, you know, saying very good comments about it. You know, I decided to go back to school. Oh, I decided to do this, you know, or that. And that makes me feel good to know, like, okay, God, this is what I told you. I will do this only if I can help others, you know.
Right. That is awesome.
Oh.
And I am, when I do speak at engagements, I am finding out that there are a lot of men that are beginning to reach out. And I was at a domestic forum a few weeks ago, and one of the questions was, are there resources for men? And there was a woman there that's executive director of a transitional house who deals with a lot of different resources, and she couldn't even name a place that she even knew that actually helped men. So that's good to know that your book is also touching men, because there are men out there that are trying to receive help for what they're going through. So that's even awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that your media company has some things coming up, some productions. I know you produced some things. You sent me your monologue that you did, which was powerful.
Wow.
So can you tell us a little bit about what your media company is doing and what it has done and how that has touched some lives?
With the media company side, what we've done is go into the gospel industry, and we work with gospel artists doing their public relations forum and also doing artist development for independent artists, you know, that want to be in the music industry, giving them those tools to be successful. On the production side of it, we produce, like, commercials, PSA for Child Abuse Awareness Month, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so children and youth are really my passion. So a lot that I do always involve them, the Get Me to Give and Just Give and Just Give. If children are involved, yes, I will do that. But our upcoming production that we have coming up that we're working on now is Breaking the Chain, the stage play. And so the book is a part of the Writers Guild of America to be scripted for a stage play and also to be scripted for a movie. So it's out in Hollywood right now. And so
awesome.
Yes. And so a lot of people always ask, well, how did you get this? How did you get that? I said, God gives me vision. You know, he tell me where I need to be, what I need to do, and I just do it. You know, people, you know, they get afraid. But if you never try, you never know if you're going to succeed with it. So the stage play, we're looking to have the production set for April 2nd of 2016. So we're in the process of doing auditions now for the stage play, and we're going to have a table read coming up in a couple of weeks. And so we're reviewing audition tapes to see who to invite to the table read. And so if individuals pass the table read, then they'll get the opportunity to be a part of the production.
Not that I'm getting ready to plug my own little marketing thing. But I just want to let you know, I submitted my video this morning.
Wow. Okay.
Because when I read that, when I read it, I'm like, okay, here we go. Because I remember I reached out to you about the monologue.
Uh-huh.
And God had given me the vision to do a monologue. And I was like, well, God, I've never done anything theatrical as an adult. As a child, you know, you take drama classes. But then when I saw your post, and I was like, well, Wanda, maybe you can try. But I thought, no. But
what
like
type
you
of
said,
characters you like to play?
All of them.
Okay.
And it was,
so
and
you
it was
can go in
ironically, and yet, ironically, the video, I'm not supposed to talk about this, but my little video that I did was that man that you just described, how he wined and dined you, did nice things for you, took you out in, you know, fancy places, and then behind closed doors, he's totally different. I wrote this little...
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yes, and that's what I did, my video, my little script that I wrote, and it was like, wow, she just said what... And that's what happens. I just took from what I've experienced, and what really made me want to do the video is because your play is based on domestic violence and different aspects. So that's what piqued my interest, because I was like, well,
play, we're going to touch on family. Because my family didn't know that. They knew about the domestic violence, but they had no clue about the sexual abuse. So everybody took it well. It happened to me in church, and so a lot of people from the church that I grew up with got a copy of the book. No one to this day has asked me, who was it? They never asked me who was it, the original publisher for the book tried to get me to, you know, to say, you know, say names or be very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is not about bashing or a tell-all. It's about helping people. So no one
right.
from my church that I grew up in has called and asked, well, who was it or anything, you know, like that. My family and I, we sat and we talked about it, and they were like, why didn't you say anything? You know, we would have protected you. You wouldn't have to go through that. But like I said, I was one of the ones of many girls at the church, you know, that went through that didn't live through it that long. Because, you know, back then, you know, all grandmothers, praying grandmothers, they sent things, and my grandmother
yes.
was the person who sent things, and she took us aside one day, and she told us that stay where I can see you, and that every tickle is not a good tickle. And we
wow.
didn't realize what that meant until we got grown. So, you know, for other young ladies that it did happen to, we know it happened to them. They have been silent. Only one person has spoke up, and she spoke up by accident, you know, in a conversation with us. And so with that person, she deals with depression. It's still ongoing. She hasn't been able to move on with her life or really fully commit to a relationship. And that's why I go around and I talk to people, let them know, you know, the effects of not protecting your children, the effects
mm-hmm.
of if your child has been touched, don't just say, oh, my mom didn't do anything to help me when it happened to me. So, you know, they have a tendency to not break their generational curse. And I've seen it in cases that I have worked is that, oh, it happened to me. My mom didn't do nothing. So that's on her. You know, they start treating their child the same way. And so the curse is never broken. And so you're continuing to have ruined lives. You're continuing to see fast little girls. You're continuing to see teenage pregnancy at an early age. So,
and that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And just listening to you too, ironically today, and I've really been praying about it, I, you know, you speak things into existence, because for me, I am a survivor of child molestation. I was raped by my biological father as well as my stepfather from the age of 7 to 18. And then my
mm-hmm.
ex-husband was very abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. So
mm-hmm.
my passion is the children, because, as stated a lot of times, that curse, that generational curse, the children are not helped, or they're not talked to, they're not consoled, and no one's there to actually help them. So what happens is that child sometimes repeats what they've seen or what they've been around. And next Wednesday, I've been invited to come speak at Townview High. And so I'm really excited about that, because that's a, you know, it's a magnet school, and
yeah,
they want.
And guess what?
To,
someone reached out to me today about bringing the play to the school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Someone from their school district talked to me today about doing it, possibly there, but you know, on the weekend. So
that wow. Yeah, because they need to hear it. And once again, unfortunately, we didn't have the full hour, and there's so much to talk about. But we will have to get you back on the show
uh-huh.
really soon. Everybody check their calendars, because I know you're a very, very busy woman. But there is so much more that I want to dig out of you and get people to be able to learn and know what you do and be able to reach out to you. Real quickly, can you tell them
mm-hmm.
how they can get your information and where to find your book before we go off the air?
You can Google my book, Breaking the Chains, From Hurting to Healing, and it will pop up on the Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and some other places. Also in some of the local libraries, they have it as well. But that's where you can get it, or you can go to my website at www.drkatrinafulham.com. Brina.com, and that's BrinaPullum.com.
Well, Dr. Katrina, I really want to thank you for your time, even squeezing us in like you did. I appreciate it. I will be reaching out to you, and may God continue to bless you on your journey.
The same to you. Thank you so much. And when I get in, I will be looking for your audition tape so I can see it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.